Hello, hello, hello. It's Private Talk Podcast time with your favorite Alexis Texas. And I'm excited for another episode. And I have a guest with me that I know you guys are going to love. And I've known you for quite some time. So I appreciate you taking your time and coming, gracing me on the Private Talk couch. So welcome, Too Short, to the Private Talk Podcast.
Dope.
We always do it dope. The private
sexy
talk.
Ass voice that got the claps. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on Private Talk. I didn't really know what this was, so I appreciate you just kind of diving in with me. And we're gonna get private, but not too private, but just the right enough.
Okay, I see the notes on the floor. So
you like that? You're cheating. Like, you're one of those that in class. You're cheating.
I'm like, you know some shit about me.
Why are you scared though? We just want the truth here.
Well, just don't Google me.
I want the truth!
That's what we want here at Private Talk. We want the truth from you, Too Short. Private Talk listeners, I hope you're going to like, subscribe, comment to this episode. You're going to love it. I know I haven't even started yet, and I have so many things because, you saw those notes, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll just tell you now, my Google is wrong. Wikipedia lies.
I don't even go off of a Wikipedia. Okay. That's cheap.
But there's a lot of rumors in LA about me.
There's a lot. Well, here's time to set them straight. So let Private Talk know what you have going on right now. I know you're all over the place.
I'm a music guy, in and out. I'm all about the music. So all these years, I never lost my love for music. The making music, working with famous artists, up and coming artists, talented musicians, producers. I'm really into it. So all my life, all my adult life, I've owned a studio. At least one studio, two studios. Right now I have a facility with four studios. And I'm pretty much just focused on putting out music with up and coming artists and, just doing a lot of mixing and mingling with artists. And I do a lot of shows and stuff. It's music is my life. I have a philosophy that's like, just till the wheels fall off. Just if it's getting money, let's get it.
Yeah, I like that motto. I feel like maybe I've taken it on my own ways too, because I feel like mine was go big or go home. But definitely, I'm never going home because I always want someone to do. So you keep progressing. And that's why with me, this is why I wanted to start doing Private Talk, because it was the first place when a platform that I kindly got my voice to get to talk to guests that, I think that my listeners would like to do.
And you got a sexy-ass voice.
I have a sexy-ass voice. So you should subscribe and like to our channel, too, since just because my voice, it tunes, it trances you in to listen to what we're going to talk about.
I'm in.
You're in? I like that. So what does legend mean to you?
Well, legend is, that's something that's like it lives forever. And whether it's a story or a person and it's a legend and it's legendary, it's bigger than the actual event or the actual person. It's something that means a lot to a lot of people. That's why they carry it forward. Now, I'm dealing with this thing where they keep saying, he's a living legend. Well, that's cool while you're walking around and people saying that, but to stand the test of time while you're alive is one thing, to be a living legend. They love me while I'm here. But for it to continue forever, that's a different story. So to be a legend is yet to be determined.
Do you think that's like a legacy thing? I feel like that too is like the...
I think it's a history thing. I just think that, history is two words, his story. So, you're always going to get somebody's version of what they thought happened. And if you could be in that conversation 200 years from now, you know what I'm saying? Like, it has nothing to do with you, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. I mean, your name will outlive so many names and they'll just talk about you. However long it may be, that's legendary.
Legendary.
You did some shit.
I like that. I like it and I love it. So when you were doing Blow the Whistle, did you know that that was going to be such a timeless record at the time? Did you know it was going to be something that was going to be such an iconic song?
You never know that a song is a classic when you're first making it. You don't. People say it. You feel good things. I get different feelings from certain songs while we're making them, and I get certain feelings after we make them, and we mix it down, and I listen to it a lot, and I'm like, the song really feels good. But in different ways. Like, some songs might be the turn up good, some songs might be emotionally good, and some songs might be the music is just so sounds so good. It just sounds so good. But Blow the Whistle was a song that it was easily crafted in terms of how fast the beat was made, how fast the vocals went down and how it was, there was never any, you know, doubt of where to go with the song. Except it used to have rock guitars on it. Okay. Because Lil Jon is the producer. And at that time, he was in that crunk rock era. He did this little thing for a while with crunk music with rock. And I didn't want the rock guitars on there on that particular song. And we, you know, we went back and forth with it a little bit, but it ended up, we ended up taking the rock guitars off. And it's cool. It's timeless. I don't know how it got to be timeless. I don't know what that ingredient is. Jermaine Dupri once came to me and asked me, he said, "What did you guys put in that song? What?" And this was like early on. He's like, "What is that? Like, what did y'all?" I don't know what we did. Like, you just do what you do. You make a lot of songs. I mean, can we talk about the industry?
We can sure talk about everything.
So you can never determine what was going to be magic on camera or even felt like magic.
Or how people are going to perceive it.
Exactly. All three of those. You know what I'm saying? So when it's magic and you're like, oh my God, I love that moment. Oh my God, the camera loved that moment. And everybody who watches it loved that moment. You didn't know that was the best one out of all of them. You didn't know that.
But there's
that
nothing of feeling inside of you that you had at the time that you were like, you know, was one more iconic than the other. Like, I mean, you're doing a lot of, you know, music and you still do. Like, is there something that, do you still have something of feeling? And maybe not knowing it's
Blow the
a
Whistle,
classic.
But Blow the Whistle was one of those songs that we knew, I knew, playing it in the studio, playing it in my car before it was released. I knew this is a great song.
Yeah.
I knew it. But timeless? Like, I knew it was great for, I made it in 2005. It was released in 2006. I knew it was great for 2006. But it's still great in 2020. Like,
for sure. I feel like everybody knows that you can't not play that song and not know that that's a two short
And
song.
Also, I've had a long hip-hop career that I started at a young age. And I had a very successful career in my 20s and 30s. And I made Blow the Whistle when I was 40 years old. So in a career, I'm 20 years into my career at the time. 20 years into your career, you don't make your biggest hit. Not in music, not in most things. So that is the, you know, one of the things that are like, you know, it's one of those positive things that, you know, that so many things about that song that makes me feel good. That one song probably made me more money than any other song too.
Yeah, I can see that. You're still playing it. I still listen to it. It's one of my favorites.
I mean, Drake sampled it.
How many times do you think that you've been sampled?
A lot. A lot, 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 lot.
Give it up to that.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. I mean, that's, like I said, it's, again, you didn't know at the time because you're such an artist and you just, you know, make music because it's, you're inspired, if it was effortless and things like that, and how it's such a song that's played, you know, everyday household song. It's, you know, it's pretty awesome. So.
Bottom line is, I love making music, and I'm only into this the way I'm into it for, I'm not going to say for money, but it's my job. It's my hustle. Like, literally, I associate making music with making money. So every time I make a move, like, you know, it's all about how can I maximize this thing right here, this song, this album, this project. So that's how we think. And I don't think I'd be a rapper for rapper right now if it was for free. I probably would have rapped at a young age, did some shows, rocked the crowd, but then at some point, if it was for free.
Yeah, then why do it? I mean, I feel the same way. If I had to do porn for free, then why do it? Like, if there has to be some kind of incentive. I didn't do it just because of monetary value and things, but it was good incentive.
There's a name for porn stars who work for free.
What is that?
Slut.
That's true. I want the truth.
You heard it, Private Talk. You better like, comment, and subscribe to this channel because it's even going to get better. Just wait. So how does it feel, and how is it, you know, working with big stars like Jay-Z, you know, Tupac and Biggie and, you know, Pimp C, all these people like that? How does it feel to be in a room with such, you know, great people?
It feels like hard work pays off. And Every door that opened for me, every room I found myself in that was like super VIP, every studio session where it was like the biggest of the best working with me. I worked with Lady Gaga, you know, like every time I got in that position, I didn't say to myself, boy, you sure are lucky. I was like, this is all that hard work. All them days and nights at my mama's house when I was in high school, just trying to figure out how to be a rapper and going around the streets of Oakland selling tapes. I'm walking the streets selling cassette tapes back in the day. And, you know, all the early recordings I was doing when I was fresh out of high school, and I was, you know, barely getting in the studio and trying to figure out how to work the buttons and how to, you know, all that shit paid off. We spent a lot of nights in the studio showing up at 11 p.m. and leaving at 7 a.m. and just being in there all night back before we had money, before we had the luxury of working decent hours. It was a hustle. So it's, I think, it's to be in the room with the big boys is hard work paying off. That's it.
I like that. How was it to meet Lizzo?
Well, Lizzo, surprisingly, well, I'm not even going to say surprisingly because she's kind of a wild one, right?
Yeah.
Her birthday is the day before mine. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I get you. With
fellow tourist.
Exactly. We are the Bulls.
So you kind of know her. So it's like an old soul kind of thing. It's like you don't know her, but you know exactly what she's coming from.
I get the gist of it. I get the spirit.
Because you're like a wild one too.
It's like, yeah, I am. It's like, I'm fucking talented and I'm fucking getting ready to get paid off the shit and I'm getting ready to fucking enjoy life. Period.
You can't fuck with anything like that. It's more, it's just honest. She's being who she is. She's living her truth. And I think that's
some people
really
take their
thing.
Talents. We don't have to say names, and you could think of anyone you want to think of. But some people take their talent and they make a lot of money and get a lot of fame from it. And they're angry. And I never know why. I'm like, you can stand up for everything you believe in. But the minute you speak your voice, you don't have to take that anger into your enjoyment of life. Let it interrupt you having fun with life. Like, don't be mad, man. Like,
I feel like people take life too serious sometimes. And there's, like, you know, there's a time to be serious and there's a time to enjoy it. And I feel like, because, you know, you do put all those hard hours in the, you know, in the studio and putting all those hard on the road, being away from family and, you know, things like that, mm-hmm. that it's like there's those moments, like you said, of being in the room with the big boys. And it's like, it's just, those are the small moments that you got to just keep with.
Yeah, you are who you are. So, you know, I don't think it's a zodiac sign thing or anything. I just think it's the life you live. And some people are just too emotional.
True. I agree with that. I think that, yeah.
If you are, I wouldn't judge you.
I don't think that I'm emotional on different levels. I feel like we all are as human, but I feel like I can be.
I said too emotional.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying as myself, being me personal. I'm a delicate flower, I like to say.
Too emotional is shit. Just shit just pushes you over the top.
No, I'm not like that. I feel like, yeah, no. I have walls, but they're not those ones. I don't like to pull them up. So do you have, like, a crazy fan story?
Because
I'm sure you have lots of...
In what capacity? Like,
let's say, like...
I've had lunatic fans, and I've had...
Let's do, because we'll get to it later, but the sexual, like, sexier part of it. Let's do a lunatic story where it was just, like, super insane.
I had a mysterious person... who was like a invisible sugar mama. Now, at the time, I'm selling, you know, it was when I did my first platinum album, first big tour, first time like just going out in the world and just being too short. And
explain what an invisible sugar mama is to Private Talk listeners, because I have no clue.
My invisible sugar mama was sending me gifts.
What kind of gifts?
Like nice shit, like...
Like Louis shoes, like nice suits.
Yeah, like
suits,
it's not that she was sending me shit. It's that the shit, every time I checked into a hotel room, we were doing 5 shows a week and 5 different cities on a tour bus going from city to city. And I would have these really nice hotel suites, and every time I checked into my room, it would be a balloon arrangement, a card, it'd be like some gifts, you know, something that was... It was always something decent. And
thoughtful, invisible girlfriend.
And I never knew who it was. And long story short, it went on for a while. And finally, she appeared and said, "That's me that's been doing that." She was cute.
How did she appear? Like, you act like it's like, you know, Aladdin. And you rubbed
it. She showed up at one of my shows. It was always related to the show. She showed up at a show backstage and said, "That's me," blah, blah, blah. So we had this little friendship. I would have to say maybe we had sex once or twice. I can't.
How do you maybe have sex? Like you like.
Like we might have. I might have fucked her. I can't really remember if I fucked her or not.
How? Like were you that drunk and you didn't remember?
No, other parts of the story are such more memorable than the sex. So, long story short, I started getting the kind of stalker vibe.
Because you gave her the invisible dick.
So I started getting the stalker vibe, and I didn't want the shit anymore. And I had a friend of mine who was like, you know, a few friends of mine, they're like, stupid motherfucker, she keep buying you shit. You stupid motherfucker, let her give you the shit. I'm like,
my size is.
I'm like, bro, I don't want it. So literally, I arranged it so that one of my friends and her would be in the same place and start liking each other. And it was all, you know, we're young and shit. It was perfect time.
How old were you?
I was probably 21, 22.
Okay.
And he's like, his game had to be simple. Like, he don't want you. You know,
come on over here.
Yeah, that shit worked. So it worked. And he was milking her. He loved it. And later on, I figured out what it was. It was so simple too. She was, her father had something to do with the promoters.
Okay.
So he was in cahoots with the big boys who were running the tour. And they were telling her where my room number was. So that's how she got the gift slid in there before I could get there. And then on top of that, her father later on was like some kind of shady dude who was printing money, so to speak. Like he was making money or something.
So did your friend stay with her? Are they happily married with two kids somewhere?
No. He just milked her out of a lot of gifts. And it just all trickles down to some shady fan shit. But it was fun, though.
It was.
It was a fun days.
I mean, at that time, it's like you're young. You can kind of see what you get away with. You don't really know what it all really entails. Like, I mean, I would be kind of like, hey, if I'm going to follow, they're going to know exactly what my room is and give me gifts. I mean, you can only take it so far. But when it starts getting creepy and you have to forget you had sex with her, you know, it's kind of.
I just remember not liking her like that. Like,
yeah.
And she was beautiful and stuff. I still don't like that personality where it's just like, you know, you're trying to buy me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like that either. For me, I feel like that's why, you know, in my industry, it's very taboo. A lot of girls do extracurricular activities, which I'm like, to each his own. But I just feel like I have a problem with people telling me what to do. So I want to control it. I want to do it. And I work harder for it.
Give me things. I'm okay with you giving me things.
Yeah, giving things. But I mean, not like buying my affection. Yeah,
exactly.
Because then it's like, how do you know that when you stop buying things, that the affection is still going to be there? And most times, 9 times out of 10, it's not. So I'll buy for myself. And I just keep rocking like that. So who are your top 5 porn stars? Because, you know, I met you in the industry of sorts, you know, at a party. I don't even exactly remember how we exactly remember. Do you remember how we met?
Could be AVNs, could be.
I feel like because I know my ex-husband was friends with you, and I don't know if that introduced me because of that. But I just knew you were always in the, like, you know, the adult scene. How did you get started, like, being wrapped up in the whole adult world?
You remember those days when Snoop did the DVD thing. I forget what it was called though, but it was a few rappers and entertainers. We're
coming into the sex, you know, business.
Remember
and
Jake
coming
Steve and to, thought yeah. He was a rapper, and he was rapping in all his videos. He started rapping and started fucking ugly. Like it was hip hop and porn. We're playing around with each other a little bit, and I was just there. I produced a couple of shitty movies. You know how when you do something that you're not supposed to do. But then, you know, you're still lured into it.
What makes you think that it was shitty? Because you, like, didn't know what you were doing? Or you just didn't care about it? Or, like, what makes your poor man?
It was the right talent. Because it was, like, you know, Mika Tan and Mr. Marcus. It was a real ethnic kind of vibe. And, you know, Wesley Pipes was in it or whatever. And we kind of, I say it's real shitty because when you look back at the final product and it wasn't directed good or edited good, so shitty.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, like, it didn't.
At least you can own it.
Well, I mean, I didn't lose any money, you know. And then I always remember that they I'm like the supposed to be like the producer, and I'm on set, and they like it's like a lot going on, and they were like, "Go over there and suck Too Short's dick," and I'm like, "I'm not in the movie." And then the girl pulled my dick out, and I was like, "I'm like on set," and I'm like, "Well, I can't say no," but then I'm like. Don't do it, but then
you're like, my man's.
My dick was already out, and I'm like, I'm not in the scene. Stop. So I made sure they edited the shit out and destroyed it.
But you definitely got your dick sucked.
I got a still photo of a porn star with my dick in her mouth. That was from that.
Can we know that name?
I can't remember her name, but I can show her to you.
You have a, you know, really bad memory over there.
Well, I have convenient memory loss.
Is that right?
My top five porn stars.
Private talk. We need to know all this information.
So, I'm so old. I'm so much older that I have different eras of porn stars.
You know, there's levels to your system?
Because I was like a little kid, like curious and like catching visions of Vanessa Del Rio, like seeing that shit, like, oh my God, what is that? Like, yeah, she was like
bad.
A beast on a on a dick, you know? And to see that at a young age, it's kind of hard. Like, I was a youngster watching porn when it was Linda Lovelace, when it was, what was the one?
Oh,
Deep Throat. Like, yeah, those were movies. You sit there and watch the movie because they're acting, there's a storyline, and they fuck a lot. And it was like, I came up in that world. So in that sense, those are really good actors too. They were really acting in the movie. You could have took the fuck scenes out, they would have been good movies.
We're going to give it up to them too, because they're real actors too. Yeah, they're just the different movies, the ones that people don't watch, but watch all the time.
Even like nowadays, you want to have the visual or the memory of Ron Jeremy of his later days when he was like fat Ron Jeremy. But Ron Jeremy was a slim player.
He was attractive at one time, which you like, you've kind of like wondered,
like,
where
top
did you
dog.
Let yourself go, let go? You know, Uncle Ronnie is, you know.
Yeah, he was like top dog in the movies. And those, he was a good actor. He was like, they were good movies. So later on, I think in the 80s, and back then, I can't really throw any names because I could picture my favorites like clear as day.
You still know these, like they're embedded in your like spank bank?
Me and you'd have to sit there and play on like one of those Pornhub things all
day.
Oh,
like one of those, like I don't know what it's called, you know, porn, Pornhub?
No, so many of them. I said one of those Pornhub things. Okay. It's like 100 of them. Pick your poison. Mine would be X Videos. I don't know why.
X Videos?
I don't even know if it's popular, but that's the one I do because it's just, they're all the same.
Free porn, I do not support that. Private talk, I do not. But, you know, it's okay. Different strokes for different folks.
It previews. It's not free porn. It's previews. It's just
have to tell yourself to lie, it destroyed my industry.
In the music industry, when you bootleg our music, you make us famous because...
Well, it's kind of different in our things, but I get what you're saying.
The more bootlegging you get, the more famous you are. And you make monies off it other ways.
I guess I like that mindset. I'll rock with that.
You milk that shit for everything. You beat the fucking system. So I had that era was, you know, there was great actors and great, you know, great sex scenes.
So you were really in the storyline. Like, you didn't just like fast forward to all that stuff. Because most people fast forward.
But do you remember?
I never watched porn, but I just did porn.
Okay, so then I remember.
But I know what you're talking about.
So then later on, it was fashionable to get rid of all that talking and shit. And like, you put on porn, put on fucking.
Get straight to the point.
And that shit was cool. You know, that to me was like, in my world, that would have been like the 80s, 90s, where I'm like, I don't want to see no fucking talking in a fuck movie.
They were really rough back in that era too, I felt like.
It was just walk in, pull your shit out, fuck. So then I used to like those, I think his name was like Andrew Blake. He turned it into like art models and
it's
shit.
Like the montage.
So, you know, I'm not really like, at the time, like wanting to see like bang, bang, bang. And I'm like, these bad bitches just get naked and do all kind of shit. And they open their lips. Like that shit was fly to me with the beautiful model chicks and doing the artistic shit. I like that shit. So you get what I'm saying, right? You say top five. I got like top 55.
Can you pick one from every era?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Let's give you your top era picks.
But you know, of the ass, no matter what ethnicity you break out, you are up there with the ass, that whole little twerk thing you do, and then you classic.
I know what you're talking about.
You're gonna be a legend.
I'm gonna be a legend. You know, I when you said that earlier, talking about like that whole definition, why I asked that is because people say the same thing to me, and I think that it's so kind of weird because you don't know how to take it. Like, it's not an insult, but it's also like, I'm alive, and I, you know, like to me it's something that's
called
like
a
after
living legend.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's kind of, it's really, it's hard to take, but I do appreciate it because again, we do bodies of work, you know, no pun intended, but you know, that we put our, you know, our my heart and like soul into certain things, because that's my craft. That's how, for me, I express myself, how I thought, you know, how I, yeah, I like to portray myself in like that way. So big booties definitely were a big thing. So who in your ear, let's see, am I on that list?
Definitely. And I'm not a name dropper.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm really, like, into, like, that whole Asian thing. I'm into, like, the curly head thing. I like the brunette.
So you say name droppers, is that because you, like, don't really care about their names?
I was literally just sitting here describing every kind of woman.
At that time, I'm like,
I like the brunettes. You're on
Pornhub, your Pornhub search thing is, like,
I like them thick.
Everything. Every type of woman. I like that, hey.
But I don't really do a lot of fantasy. I don't fantasize through porn. I kind of watch it like you probably would watch a sitcom or something. Like, I just watch it because I fuck a lot in life.
So you don't get off to it anymore?
I could, but I'm saying that's not my motivation. It's not about getting off or not. I'm saying when I watch it, I'm just seeing technique, or I'm seeing... You know,
you're more of like artistic about it, because like I feel like you're a talented person, and so you know, being able to like do music and
the thought is music. Not, ooh, I wish I could fuck her. I wish I could fuck her. I fucked a girl that looked just like her. Like, you know,
it's but more, do you also feel like you're desensitized because you just said that you fucked a lot of women, and it may not, because like with me is I've done porn and I've done a lot of scenes, but for me, I'm desensitized to a certain point. I still get off and have sex perfectly fine, but you get desensitized to certain situations if it's porn and you just watching it. But for me, I never got into like watching it. I just did it.
In the world of fucking groupies, when I did a lot of groupie fucking, I mean, it's a lot of detachment on emotions. You just hit that shit for the sport of it. But you can't deny feelings. You can't deny when you're into somebody and you start having sex with them, and the fucking shit is like more than just about the sex. It's like, I fucking like you. I'm into you. That happens. I don't care what you're doing for a living.
Has a groupie turned into a girlfriend that you caught feelings for?
Fuck yeah. I've promoted side chicks, all that shit. Like,
so do you have a roster? What is your dating life right now? What is your, you know, relationship status?
Everything you think I might have been, I was. Right now, I'm just age appropriate, and however that fits in. I still fuck a lot, but I'm just saying right now, I'm not on the pussy hunt, that daily pursuit of panties.
So you're not having like wild orgy parties?
Things can happen. Things still happen, but I'm saying
still get into some shit.
I used to wake up and think, where am I going looking for pussy today? Or who am I going to fuck today? And that was a thing.
For how long? I feel like that happened like yesterday, like today. I feel like you're trying to bullshit Private Talk over here. Like, don't be acting like you still ain't trying to pump for pussy, that you're not about to leave here and go fuck some bitches and have a wild ass night.
I mean, I'm not.
We're in LA. I know
I'm
what it
not
is.
Saying. I'm saying the hunt. The hunt. Like, really, like going out, like admit something.
So with your being celebrity like status now, is it the hunt is gone because it's just given to you on a, like a platter? Like, here's the pussy.
I think you get older and you just, your technique just evolves. It just, you know, you just kind of know what you want. It's not about, I'm not like this little dude. Like, I really, you know, I'm telling you what it is. Get a little older and your taste get a little older, and that whole little hunt fucking shit is just, it's some young shit.
It's tiring.
It's some young shit.
I'm single myself, and so I said, like we were talking on another episode about the dating world is so odd to me, because it's just like, it's a lot of work, and I'm busy, and I don't really have time for that stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's not saying that I'm not looking for it, and I don't want to share my life with someone, but I'm not looking for it, because if it happens, it happens. Like, I'm not trying to be like, I'm trying to work.
And that's how I feel about my daily routine. It happens. I'm in the mix. It happens, but I'm not like I would be in my 20s and 30s. And even like some of my 40s, I would be like pissed if I like woke up without a bitch.
So you'd always be with a bitch. You don't like to sleep alone, I'm assuming.
I just always like to be surrounded by fly women. It wasn't even a one woman thing. It was like I'd have a house full. I'd have three or four.
So how big is your bed?
And I'm not saying all these menage a trois. Even though I did go on a menage.
A menage marathon?
A binge.
What was your biggest menage?
The most women?
Yes, at one time.
In one night, like in the same room, probably like four.
Four.
But that was a one-time thing. A lot of twos, some threes, but
tag teaming.
A lot of twos.
A lot of twos.
I went on years of twos,
a couple fours, but very rare.
Once it was four, and you know, I
feel like that's like not even that many.
Okay, and then another thing is,
I feel like it needs to be like six at
when
least.
When you think of,
like, you're too short. Like, come on now.
Would you think of two?
I'm thinking about 10 now. Now maybe that's just my imagination. Mm-hmm. Maybe I jerked off two at one time. I don't really know.
No, this is me. I'm the guy who's like, I'm hanging out with these two chicks. Everybody knows everybody likes everybody. And these girls are like, look, straight up, like, fly motherfuckers. They're like, I'm not into girls, and I don't want to eat pussy. I don't want to have a threesome. And, you know, that's cool. I'm not even pushing the shit anyway. I know that's the boundaries.
Yes.
I know what the boundaries are. So we hang out and shit, and then at some point through the night, everybody stays at the house. We kick it and, you know, have relations with her. We enjoy our time. I go in the other room, have relations with her. I go back over there. We get up. We all have breakfast.
You're a busy man.
But I'm saying that's the kind of guy I am. Over the years. And then we wake up and they tell a story about, hey, did he fuck you? Yeah, he fucked me about 2 in the morning. And they compare, and everybody's cool. We go get breakfast and,
oh, everybody's cool. Did anybody ever not be cool and it became like a situation where
I've never been sneaky and lying.
But sometimes even when people, like, when you're honest, I feel like sometimes they're like, oh yeah, I'll be cool, and then they catch feelings too much, and then it's like goes a whole different situation. Nothing like that ever happened?
Yeah, like
There's never been a messy situation.
My girlfriend comes over. My friend I'm dating comes over. She spends about 3 nights, and she brings 2 friends with her. And I'm hers exclusively. Her 2 friends, we go in the club every night. I'm showing them a good time. And then one of the friends that's with her is like her actually blood cousin. She's about 25. Her little cousin's like 21. And we're all just in the house, and little cousin's having so much fun because I'm taking them to have good things. So about the second night, somewhere in the house, little cousin gets a little loose, a little friendly.
And I
see the little opening. I'm like, okay, she's a cute little motherfucker. Third night, everybody goes to sleep. I go wake little cousin up and go, stop playing, girl. She like start, you know, breaking me off. We fuck. We go back to our respective corners and wake up the next day, act like it didn't happen. 2 months later, I get a phone call.
Oh, shit.
You fucked my little cousin when I was at your house? And I'm like, who said that? She said it. She broke down crying and confessed. I'm like, well, that's...
She snitched on you.
Yeah, I'm like...
So that broke up that relationship. Or did she continue to...
Fuck no, it was over, but... It was over with anger, but I'm just saying... That's the kind of shit that was happening in those days.
That's some wild shit. I mean, I'd be mad if you fucked my cousin in my house, but, you know, too short. So who's your favorite bitch?
What if you were the cousin? Would you break down and cry and confess?
I would never confess. I'm to the wheels fall off. To the I'm not talking. So who's your favorite bitch?
Who's my favorite bitch?
Who's your favorite bitch?
Who's my favorite bitch? I have like personal, private favorites.
Can we know at Private Talk? We would really love to know. Give us one.
Can I just give you a description of my favorite bitch?
Yeah, because you didn't even. Well, I feel like you should get at least one name because you didn't even give us really any top 5 of your porn stars. You just told me about your eras of porn.
Yeah, because it's too vast of appreciation.
You want a top 100?
Admiration.
We're going to have to get that back to that. I'll put that on my Instagram post. We'll put your top 100 list of porn stars since there's a long list.
I base porn stars on their performance.
Their performance. What is it, on a 1 to 5?
The performance, I think, is how you make it look on camera regardless of what's really going on inside of you at that moment.
So like, how do you rate? How is your scoring system?
How you ride a dick? What are your sex faces?
But is it like a star rating, like 4 stars?
No, it's dozen arouse me, semi arouses me, makes me hard. and without touching myself. Like, you can, if I can look at, that's the same thing with a woman in real life.
Is that why you can't look me in the eyes? Because I've done that to you?
No, it's not. It's not that. It's just that if I started staring at you and looking at you, like if I started thinking shit and thinking shit I've already seen, and
then you're going to start getting aroused?
Yeah, and I'm not here for
so
that.
So what was my scorecard?
You had all the skills. You had the skills.
I had the skills?
You had
but
the,
what is, like, you still have, like, what's the,
you had
is the, it 1 to 4?
You had the threesome skills down. Yeah. You had the fuck faces down.
Oh, yeah, because they were real.
You had the money shot down.
What's the money shot?
That's what you do when you get hit with the money shot.
I know what it is. I'm just testing you.
you all positions. You just it was sold. It was like,
tell me more, please don't stop.
It's like she's having the time of her fucking life. It's like you selling it.
I like that.
I've talked to quite. I've had friendships with quite a few porn stars, and they say it's work, motherfucker. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's good ass fucking. But a lot of times it's just work.
It is, but for, I mean, it's like I always say, we're sexual athletes, and you know, it is
like
work.
Guys can sometimes be a total dick the whole day, especially right before the scene. Guys can step in, you just like, I don't like the way this motherfucker smells, look like, it's all kind of shit that girls overcome to do the scene.
Yes and no, yeah, but that's why you have to like actually. I mean, you can choose who your partners are. For me, I know. I already knew my set of list. If like those all things happened before, I probably wouldn't have.
What's
even
the percentage of people in the porn industry who are choosing who they want to fuck?
Yeah, I mean, they do. Well, they do have a choice. Everyone has a choice. You have a
no-list. You gotta earn that choice.
To a point and extent, but everyone in the beginning has a no-list or has, like, a list of things.
Because I did some casting, and it was just like, I do this, I do that, I do that, and I, like, show up, and they do it.
Well, that's because they made a choice. They're not being forced. I mean, I guess that more to the end of my career, I definitely had more of a I would say, because before, if you like try to say that you don't want to work with them, they would just cancel you and put somebody else. So they do do it, you know.
Does
like,
liquor make it better or worse?
Liquor? I never drank before a set.
Okay.
Later on, when I started directing my own movies, I did because it was like my set, so it was more free. Like I was directing and you know, and starring in
I can't
some of them.
Perform a live rap concert. I can't perform intoxicated.
You can't perform intoxicated?
I don't get intoxicated before the show. I start, as soon as I start performing, I started like drinking or smoke a little bit, but I can't do it before. I can't go in impaired. I have to be
interesting
clear.
Just a fact. Is it true that Tupac got put you on a blunts smoking?
Tupac and his homies. It was the guys who Tupac came up around a group called Digital Underground. And one of the keyboard players, his name was Pee Wee. And one of the homies that worked with me, his name was Shorty B, he played guitars. They used to hang out with Tupac a lot. They were like, you know, all boys. They were the first ones I ever seen take a cigar and squish all the tobacco out and then roll weed in. I thought this shit was stupid.
So do you still smoke now?
I still smoke weed, yes.
Blunts, joints?
I smoke joints, and at the studio, so many people smoke blunts, I'll hit one every now and then.
Yeah, I'm a blunt
Eerie
person.
Now and blunts?
I am a blunt person.
You're backwood?
I don't like backwoods. I'm more of a swisher because I like flavors, just like my flavored vodka, but
I hate flavored weed.
Flavored Swisher? I mean,
any kind of flavor. Just let it be the weed.
It is good, but I just, like, I don't know. I just,
don't,
like,
don't pass me that peach shit or that grape shit. I don't.
Well, I'll roll one especially for just for you. And in the Bay. I'll keep the peach one.
I'm from the Bay. If you got to have flavor, they'll put that, they'll infuse that shit into the weed.
Into it?
You'd be smoking crazy flavors like orange or some shit like that.
I like it. I'll smoke it. So fake ass and real ass, what is your thoughts?
I've never been a surgery kind of guy. Like some women are so fucking fine that you just like, you know, them fake titties or something. You're like, I take it. I'm not going to turn it down if it comes with all that. But I'll be the one who's there outside the medical place right before you go in and get your new
like,
big titties.
Like, don't do it. You're picketing. I'd be like, don't do it. Even titties?
You know, I like little titties. So it's like, I actually just like natural. I'm one of those guys that
But
just,
that's hard to find these days, especially in L.A.
Okay, especially in L.A., but it's still going on around the world. Naturals.
I feel like it, but I feel like now it's because it's so...
It's a lot of natural where you're from.
So glorified, yes, because it's very, like, curvy women and... You know, mm-hmm. we like to eat fried food a lot, and it's very delicious. And Mm-hmm. You know, everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah. Remember Anna Nicole Smith when she was young?
Yes, I've got compared to her.
I like a big, thick woman like that. It's just, it just happens natural. But then if your God-given gift was a nice, slim body and you just, you're great and you're beautiful, I like it.
You like it.
I don't think that you should, if you were born with a little ass and little titties, I don't think you're meant to go blow that shit the fuck up. It looks funny.
I think so too. I think that the people are going like outrageous, and it's just
it looks funny.
Not only like that, but it's like health reasons. Like, why put foreign objects in your body?
I mean, we love it when we got, oh my God, your ass looks so great, and it's like fake, but it looks good. But that's 1 in 100.
But sometimes I feel like you can't even tell anymore.
Like you shouldn't. Okay, you know when a chick gets a great boob job, and everybody goes, hey guys, come check this out, and everybody's like standing around going like, weighing them and like going, these are like, amazing. Ooh, who did
you can't
these?
Can't feel anything. Your
that's
scar,
her fucking titty job. She's the fucking lottery winner of titty jobs. You go try and get that same titty job from that same doctor. It's gonna be like
botched up,
cockeyed titty nipples.
I mean, there's a whole series called Botched on that whole thing. Like it's a real thing.
I can't watch Dr. Pimple and Botched and all that shit.
Oh, I can't do the pimple thing. That really scares. I can't even watch Botched really either. Like the story, I can, but once they start doing surgery and like doing it, it really kind of I can't.
Chick, it's like I can't even sit down anymore.
Like
I can't drive my car. I have to sleep on my stomach. You can't even get fucked. You went and got a big ass fake booty. Now you can't even get fucked from the back. What the fuck?
Is that your favorite position from the back?
I would have to say any of my favorite positions all consist of face-to-face.
Face-to-face. So you're like more into like intimate. You want to like lock a lot.
Sexy ass shit, yeah. I want to see that shit. Look me in my fucking eyes.
That would make sense since your whole like, you know, your old school porn era with all the movies depicting in your showcase of like artistic like sexual.
I would literally say to you, we've been fucking for 30 minutes and your eyes are closed. Open your fucking eyes.
Wake up, bitch.
Fuck you thinking about?
Has somebody fell asleep on you before?
I've done it.
You've fallen asleep in the pussy?
I have literally been so drunk or so just tired of a long ass day and talked that talk and got up in there and
passed the fuck out.
I've had women say, you motherfucker. And I've had other women say, I fucked the shit out of you while you were asleep. Whatever. I'm just like, I work hard. I do a lot of good fucking. If I had that one night, every blue moon, I just but I will make up for it in the morning.
How many women do you think that you've had sex with at this time?
Hit that button.
I want the truth.
That's what we want here at Private Talk. Make sure you like, subscribe, and comment on this episode because it's about to get real. So, how many?
How many shows have I done?
I don't know. You tell us here at Private Talk. You know, you said the twos, the fours, you know, are we, how are we, how many, you know, here, wait, let's, can I help you out?
I got a lot of pussy. I got a whole lot of pussy.
Hundreds, thousands?
I got more pussy than you.
I'm sure you have it. I started at like a later age. I didn't get pussy until the first time I was on camera. I had my first girl experience with Brianna Love. And yes, you definitely have had more pussy than I have. So you have no numbers, nothing. You're not giving me a lot to work with here at Private Talk. You know, we're friends here.
Everywhere I go,
here.
Everywhere I go, from the grocery store to the Super Bowl, I always bump into somebody I fucked.
Every time you leave your house.
Like, Todd. Who's on aisle 7? Oh, how's that? How have you been?
Do you remember all of them? And you're like, searching through that memory bank of like. Oh.
So not only do I remember things, I keep notes.
You have a notebook? Oh, you have a little black book?
No, I keep notes somewhere in cyberspace. I have this thing where I just.
Somewhere in the cloud out there, there's these notes.
Like,
that
your name would come up. I research you in my notes and your name would come up and it'd be like your birthday and it'd say something that you might like or a figure, a body part, Alexis nice ass.
So is that what am I in your phone? Is Alexis nice ass?
Well, we know who you are. I just put you as Alexis T.
I like that, Alexis T.
Because certain people, you don't have to announce them.
My cheeks speak for himself.
Yeah, Mr. P knew I wanted to fuck you. He was like, P Pete, he didn't introduce us. He sent me a picture of you.
Ah, that's hilarious.
He sent me a picture of you an autographed picture. Like, you autographed a picture, and he took a picture of you holding the autographed picture.
Yeah, you left that autograph. Thanks.
Well, I have the picture of it.
So the picture of the picture is good enough.
But yeah, he's like, nah, she ain't around today, man. She ain't around.
So he was cock blocking.
Well, not
really. I mean, I was his wife at the time, but you know. Everybody, I don't think he was really cock blocking. I think it was just telling
everybody wanted to fuck his wife at the time.
I mean, that's very true, which he didn't fuck anybody.
You want to hear
besides porn.
Let me tell you the crazy story that I deny and two other people say is true, and I'm just like blaming on the Playboy Mansion. I'm at the motherfucking Playboy Mansion. Normally at the Playboy Mansion, you don't really remember much. Shit just happens. So I see Jenna Jameson and her husband, Tito.
Okay.
And he walks up and says, you owe me an apology. Now, at the time, she's top dog. He's a fucking champ at UFC.
Yeah, you don't want him to be mad at you.
And I'm like, apologize what? We're in the lobby of a hotel in Vegas. Apologize what? He said, last time I saw you, you disrespected my wife. And I was like, how? Now, mind you, I didn't really know him like that, but I knew her speaking, saying, hey, what's up? That's it. So I turned to her. She's standing right next to him. I said, did I disrespect you? She said, yes, you did. And that's, well, I asked both of them. So we're in the lobby talking, right? He's got a mean face. I'm like, what did I do, you guys? And like, well, you were at the Playboy Mansion. You were trying to fuck her. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, sincerely. Gotta blame it on the Playboy Mansion. You know what I mean? But he's like,
did that excuse work?
No, he accepted my apology because it was sincere. Like, I'm like Playboy Mansion, bro. I'm like, I've been knowing her forever. I ain't never tried to fuck you. I'm like for real, I don't. Have I ever tried to fuck you?
No, you have not. But I've known you've wanted to.
And as much as I would have and wanted to, I just don't push up like that. So.
Because things happen organically, I feel like. If it's going to happen, it happens. So I feel like, again, like it's, you know.
So I apologize. I walk away and I'm like, damn, Tito's about to punch me in the fucking face over some shit I don't even remember. And I'm, you know, I'm usually good with that kind
of
shit.
Did you stop flirting with porn stars after that?
Well, no, but I'm saying, I think the Playboy Mansion flirted with her. It wasn't me. I never really thought of her like that. My thing is like, have you ever seen the footage of her? She's one of my favorites too. Have you seen the footage of, because she's a great performer. Have you ever seen the footage of her first, like little up and comers, one of those little, when she's like,
I haven't watched any of her scenes, unfortunately. Again, I don't watch
If you porn. Ever do, you should go watch when she was like a youngster.
Okay, do you know the name of it?
I think she probably did the up and comers. A lot of, like Tara Patrick, all them, I like that dude, I don't know who he was, but he used to do this thing.
Oh, look at that twinkle in your eye. You said their names. You really do like old school porn stars. Like, you were really invested in Tara Patrick. Did she have a place in your heart?
Yes, she did. I'm telling you, when they like little youngsters, they come in, you like that raw talent and you see it.
What, like, but into like being a big star and like a household name.
And you could see the diva come out.
Oh, definitely definitely diva-ness.
When you like show up on the set and you like a little young hot thing, and then next thing you know, you like big production. There's fire in the credits and shit. And
before you did your production, did you go on any sets before that?
I was supposed to be doing it with people who knew what they were doing. And I guess they did. They went on and did more stuff. It was a great venture for them, but
just not for you.
For me, I tapped out. It wasn't really my thing.
So how was the AVN experience for you?
AVN the first time, my boys KB and D Money brought me out to perform at their Players Ball, and I got to walk around the convention and shit, and I didn't know anything like that existed. I wasn't even aware of AVN magazine at the time, you know, which I assume stands for Adult Video News, maybe something like that.
Yes, it does.
So I wasn't. That's nothing. A guess. Just kidding. The convention is a motherfucker. And, you know, back then it was
It was massive back then. It was,
and
like
it was
huge.
Joined up with, it was right next door to CES. Show. So it would be, I'm an electronics buff. So I'm a porn buff. I'm like, this is the greatest weekend
like
ever.
It's like a candy store.
And they would cross collateralize the shit because there'd be a lot of porn stars working in electronic booths. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I first, okay. I fucked this girl named Sarah. And Sarah was like, I'm gonna get into porn. And she was like very ambitious. If you give me a piece of paper, I'll write down her name.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You can say it. I'm not gonna say it. And I fucked Sarah. We fucked that weekend a couple times. We fucked after that. Here, I'll type it in. Got it. And she was just like, she would come, she would jump on the highway. And I lived in Vegas at the time.
Okay.
And she would drive and come hang out with me a couple times. And then later on, she really did that shit. And I was into that type of vibe at AVN. After that, I would go to AVNs and I would like purposely try to meet up and coming.
New
up and
coming girls?
You know, and at something like AVN, you could be like, yeah, you know, I know some big directors. Yeah, that shit works.
That works. Is there any tips that you can give?
That was my girlfriend when her name was Sarah.
Oh, okay.
And she wasn't lying. She went and did that
she
shit.
She did. Anne Marie Rios. Yep, that was her. You said I could say it. Yeah, we all wanted
to. I want the truth.
But I mean, she did do it. You know, she was pretty well known. I don't know how many years she ended up doing it, but you know, she did her thing. Mm-hmm. I think back then too, it was like there was so much out there that it was hard to like really like have like stars, like, you know, like there's not a lot of Jenna Jamesons and things like that, especially nowadays, but with the internet and streaming and all of those things like that. Do you have any tips out there for guys that, for women that like absolutely is like, no, you're going to seal the deal, that, you know, it's a go-to?
Seal the deal with who, me?
With women, yeah. That you, you know, can actually like pass on to my
advice for guys?
For guys, yes.
Shut up and let her talk. Just like, I usually like, I think that guys feel like they have all this game and you're trying to talk girls into shit and it doesn't work. And basically, long before you ever get your dick sucked or you ever get any pussy, she already knows that she's going to suck your dick or give you some pussy. If it goes right, you're in. So all you could do at that point is talk yourself out of it, not into it. So basically, I just tell guys to ask questions that kind of keep the conversation going where she can tell you things about her and to be interested and be sincere about it and try not to just blurt your whole life on a chick. I do this, I got this, and you take a phone call. Yeah, man, the money, like you're trying to show off. Like that shit, guys that do that shit is kind of corny to me, but I make a woman say, oh my God, you're a person, you're kind, you care, you know, like
you have feelings.
And it's a part of my game. It's not like I can sit there and you know how you guys, women, I mean, you guys like to...
let's typecast us. What do we do?
No, you like to tell us a whole lot of shit. And then right in the midst of it, you go, what did I just say? I know what the fuck you just said.
And you can like verbatim or at least...
I run it back. But at the same time, I'm kind of like not giving a fuck. And they go...
Selective listening.
Oh, you care. And I keep notes so I can run back. Your grandmother's name is Gertrude. I just little shit. I keep notes. You tell me shit all night, and then after the date or after we kick it, I have notes on you. And then when I call you, you get the call out the blue. This is a great game, Trey. We do this all the time. Get the call out the blue, and she's like, "Hey, what's up?" And you know the call ID name pop up, whatever, and you're like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" And a little smile talk, she go, do you even remember me? And I'm like, yeah, you know, Rosie with the blue hair, with the fat ass, with the little red beamer. She's like, oh, you remember me? I'm like, I don't even remember shit. I'm just reading notes. And she's like, oh my God, you was always the real one. I love you.
your notes section must be really like in depth.
No, it's just a couple of little one-liners.
No, I mean, just as far as like the women. You take notes on all the women?
No, it just when it matters. When just and it's random too, because I don't do it like on purpose. It's just random that it's like Lotto, you know.
What is your funniest side note? One of these.
I don't know. Let's look up your name.
Yeah, let's see what my notes are.
No, we're just gonna look up your name. Just type in your name and see what comes up.
And
read everything you see. It's Alexis, and just run them down.
I'm sure there's a lot of Alexises in your phone.
Run them down.
Alexis exclamation point, 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 point. Alexis 18 LA. Alexis Argyle bartender. Alexis AZ lover. Alexis Bay Mountain View. Ooh, someone got freaky in a Bay Mountain View. Alexis Bowlegs. Uh-oh. Jessica Alexis. Alexis LA Kings. Alexis Miranda. Alexis exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Pasadena Princess. Ooh, naughty. Alexis T. That's me. Alexis LV Real Estate. That's serious. Alexis LV Super Hypey. Alexis or Tiffany Alexis / Singer. All those Alexises out there, I hope you're listening to the Private Talk podcast right now. You better like and comment on this and let us know your story. I like your notes, though. I mean, mine are a little bit different, but I would put like where I met them from. But yours are way more fun and interesting. I like the bow-legged one.
I would meet a girl named Lexus, and you always have to say to a girl named Lexus, what do you say?
I drive a Lexus.
I used to.
The funny thing is I used to get asked that, and I'd be like, I don't, but I will one day. So that was my first car. Lexus. I bought a Lexus. I was that girl. I did it. Private talk.
Hey.
Yes, yes. All right, guys, we're going to take a little bit of a break and get to one of my favorite parts of this podcast called Truth with Texas. Make sure you like, subscribe this podcast because I think Truth with Texas is going to be a lot of fun. All right, Private Talk, we are back with Too Short with us, and we are about to play Truth with Texas. We're going to see a little bit more, how much more open we can get with you. I feel like you've been pretty candid with us, pretty honest.
Everything except name dropping.
Yeah, I mean, I did that for you. It's okay. I got you. Can't, she can find me.
That was so long ago.
All right, so we're going to play this game, Truth with Texas. You're going to pick a card, and whatever card it is going to be a different type of question. You think you can handle this?
Yeah. Second from the left.
Get it. All right.
Starting off with the aces.
Ace of clubs. So it's a kinky question.
Mm-hmm.
Kinky, kinky, kinky. Mm-hmm. Do you like being tied up, or do you like prefer tying your partner up?
I'm too paranoid to get tied up.
You think she's just going to leave you there and just be like, bye, bitch?
Not more like a... Let me lock all my jewelry in the safe or something first. That kind of shit. I think like that. Like, you ain't about to.
You need to have a safe firm anyways.
Not finna rob me. It's too much like a robbery. And see, let me tying up somebody. Actually, I need everybody to be arms and limbs free and doing shit.
You like lots of action. Like,
yeah, I don't even want to be in one spot for that long. Like, you can't change positions and I'm not good with vulnerability in sexual ways. I'm really not. I'm not.
So you like to like control the whole situation. So you don't even like a girl like there's a two-part situation, you know, like one smothering you and the other being a situation.
I don't have to call shots, but I'm not going to be handcuffed to something and then have to deal with the dumbass shit you gonna do to me.
So you won't let me handcuff you and like throw away the key?
Not gonna do it. I seen a movie.
You thought about it though.
No, I'm saying I seen a movie where the dude handcuffed the chick, had freaky sex, and left her there for like months.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
And he was just feeding her little plates of food.
What kind of movies are you be watching over there too?
Showtime, HBO.
Showtime, HBO. Have you ever been caught solo? Like, you know, if you're like masturbating and somebody walked in on you?
I'm an open masturbator. I don't hide, so yeah.
So you just like do it with the doors open and you're just like masturbate?
I'm the boyfriend that'll jack off next to you after we had great sex. And I'm still like, just pull one more out.
So you're like the Energizer coming bunny? Like you just like keep but coming you, and coming
be,
and coming?
You might be like, oh, that was great. That's cool. That's sexy watching this. Some other chick's like, am I not worthy? Why are you doing that? Like, I'm like, calm the fuck.
The theatrics
down.
I like.
I'm just doubling up on a good thing.
She's like, I couldn't make you come enough times on me.
Mm.
They like to steal all the cum.
So yeah, I don't like to hide. And I've over the years, I've really had sex with some beautiful women. And I pull the covers back and I stare at you while I jack off to you.
So would you like her like playing with herself alongside of you at the same time? Are you down with that? Or are you like, you're like, no, you can't touch yourself and look, I'm inside you.
I used to have a girlfriend. We used to do that a lot. That was our little weird routine.
Because I think it's kind of hot. Like, I feel like it's taboo. Like, not all the time, obviously. But even if, like, in a session, like, I think, what if I turned over and I was like, wow, all right, you're still going?
And she wanted to, she liked to masturbate while she gave me head.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I feel like the older I got, the more I, like, mastered to, like, giving head to, because it definitely, like, before it didn't turn me on. But then it's about the art of pleasuring someone.
What I like to do is not cool with a lot of women, but I like to fuck a lot, so.
Like a fuck a lot? So, like, you're a nympho, would you consider yourself?
Not fuck a lot of times. Fuck for a long time.
A fuck for a long time.
Yeah, you know, because you pace yourself, you kind of go slow, you go faster. Like, it, you know, it's like, I will come and get right back hard and do it again.
So how long is, you know, like, one stopping. Of your sessions?
I do, like, some all night off and on shit. Towards the bull.
So is this like totally?
It'd be like,
is this totally sober?
It's like bang, 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 20 minutes.
Or is this like drunken high sex where it's like all like night and like a thing?
Both, but a lot of, I like to do that when I'm drunk and high.
Okay, drunken high sex rating 1 to 10. Do you like it more or less?
Do I like it better than
like being sober? You get wilder, crazier on one.
No, it's a better emotional attachment when you're sober, but it's like.
But you get freakier whenever, yeah, like,
can
you
be,
know.
It can be more fun, like you know, I'm with my chick, and we have wonderful sex. But then this one night we stay in the hotel and we get fucking wasted. We go up and we come back to the hotel, and we wake up. And we kind of remember being in the shower. We kind of remember fucking. But the room is fucked. The bed is, the mattress is on the floor. The bathroom is trash. Everything's trash.
So you know something fun happened.
And neither one of us can remember. And we're just like.
That's kind of fun though.
Yeah. We like. I remember little parts, but who did this?
You get blurry moments and then something comes up and you find something. And like all
I remember you singing in the shower. when did we fuck the room up?
I like that. All right, let's get into the next question. You gonna pull my card for me?
One more card. Are they all aces? All
right.
I thought I was getting lucky pulling aces. They're all aces.
Diamonds. Ace of diamonds. Aces. They're all gonna be a card. Diamonds. We're gonna be spicy. What do you think of what do you think when you're masturbating? Like, what do you think of? Do you think about, like, the session that you just had?
I only have one rule only. I'm not allowed to masturbate to things that haven't happened.
So you can't, like, it can't be a fantasy thing. It has to be a reality.
That's like what I'm saying. Like, I can't even do fantasy porn. Like, it has to have realness attached to it.
That makes sense of why you don't, you know, get off to, like, the porn that you're watching. Like, it has to be stimulated on certain levels.
And even, it's weird about porn too. I like to watch shit I wouldn't do. Like, I wouldn't fuck her, but I just watch it. Just like,
what's your porn search history?
Shit, I don't know. I'm a surfer. I just surf.
I'm a surfer. Okay, let's get the next one.
Surfer.
Ooh,
is this one love?
That's the romantical one. What is the last song that you fucked to?
The last song I fucked to, I have a TV that's hooked up to a surround sound system that has Pandora built in it, or logged in or some shit.
So do you have like a favorite Pandora channel?
I put it on like her or SZA or Ella May, and just whatever songs play, they put a cool vibe.
Put you in a good mood.
And sometimes if I'm with like a Like girls that like girls, they like to listen to like the internet channel, whatever, you know. So I play the Pandora without the commercials in the middle of the night to let it play, put it down low. It's just like a little sexy playlist that I don't have to
sexy vibes
that I don't have to attend to.
I like it. All right, last one.
We know what it is.
I know, but I want you to touch it for me.
It's the black card.
It's Spade. It's my favorite here at Private Talk because it's just like my logo. It's a naughty question. Mm-hmm. So your song Freaky Tale, mm-hmm. was that a true story?
It has a lot of truth in it. It has a lot of names that are words that rhyme easy. That names that rhyme easy with other words. Freaky Tales is kind of autobiographical. Kind of. It has a lot of true stories in there with the names changed. It has stories in there that are mythical stories, like the TP treatment. People always go, what's the TP treatment? That's all the way at the end of the song. That's somebody's initials.
Okay.
And that person was so famous at the time that guys wouldn't say her name. They would, if she gave you some head, it was called the TP treatment.
Who's the treatment from?
All I can say is she was a flight attendant. She was a flight attendant.
And she got around.
And she just, I guess she likes sucking dicks because she was good at it. I got a taste of it. That's why I was like, boy, you never had that TP treatment. That's the last thing I said in the song. Like, you can talk all the shit you want, but if you ain't never had that.
So you definitely joined the Mile High Club.
I have definitely, I've never stuck my dick in a vagina on the plane, but I have had lots of chicks play with my dick, like even hot chicks like you just met. I've banged flight attendants right after the flight. Like, nice. In the hotel with her, to show with her uniform on. I've met, like, the hottest passenger who just happened to get the seat next to mine. And we just end up with the blanket over us.
That's the best way.
And we just keep in touch. And just shit happens. Like, all this shit happened. It happened.
You have an interesting life. I definitely wish I could be a fly in the wall in some of these situations.
I was young as fuck and wild and... You know, I got great memories.
Great memories. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed. I'm going to give you your turn. I promise you. Before we get to you putting me in the hot seat, let my listeners out there know where we can find you, where your new projects right now. If you have anywhere like websites, plug those for us here at Private Talk.
Everything I'm doing and everywhere I'm at is at Too Short, TOOSHORT. And just keep your eyes and ears open. I'm releasing a lot of music in 2020 and beyond. It's something that I'm doing in the name of hip hop. I'm proud to say I'm in my 50s. I'm living a damn good life. And I feel like hip hop is always trying to put itself in a box. Not other people. Hip hop tries to put itself in a box and go, you can't rap if you're this. You can't rap if you're that. You can't rap if you're this age. You can't rap if you look like that. Hip hop always breaks out that box. And at this point, I'm just saying, when is the expiration date? Nobody has the answer.
You heard it, Private Talk. You heard it. So Too Short, we're going to take a little break and then we're going to put me in the hot seat. I can't wait for this one.
Bam.
All right, we're back, and we are going to put Miss Texas in the hot seat. So you've been thinking about this for some time. I see the smoke coming out of your head. You've been wanting to ask me these questions.
Actually, I'm just going to wing it. I don't
wing it, baby.
I don't know what I'm gonna ask you as of now. I'm thinking of question one right now. You don't need that.
I like that button.
I'm coming with it quick. Oh,
who likes it quick though?
Sometimes if you gotta go to work, if you gotta go to work and you got like a 9 to 5, and you're like, I gotta get this train, probably late, but I'm horny. Bam. It's not even the kind of question you think it's gonna be. I just want to know, will you send me, because I look for it, I can't find it. Will you send me some footage of you having fun with a big black dick?
I can. I have personal footage of it.
Yeah, you. It's not out there.
It's not out there on the web, but it's in my personal collection. It is.
Because it would, I always wanted to see it. You know what I'm saying? Cause
you know what's funny is an ex-boyfriend of mine, we were at a club and somebody, they recognized me.
I know you like black dudes, but
and they asked the same thing. And so he was like, no, really? And so he showed him this video and like they gave him their phone for a minute and it was kind of entertaining, but they were definitely shocked. But it definitely did that. It happened because people ask all the time. It's a warranted question, you know what I mean? But no, I did not do any on screen. I didn't, but I definitely have made some home videos. So maybe I'll send you a snippet of that. You know, I'll just cut his face out, you know?
Just a little just a little bit of you working on, you
just
know,
a little bit.
Then that way I can.
You want to see how that, you know, ride it from the back, you know?
Just a visual. I told you I'm a front guy, front from the front.
Front. Oh, okay. But, front, you know, front. If you turn around and you look them in the eyes, it's you get both.
That's kind of front to front.
You know?
That's kind of.
It's like got, the side view. You can't, you know, you look
you
back.
You got to know to do
you
that
know,
shit,
you've seen the, you've seen mm-hmm. them, you know.
Some girls just be up there in the pillow or something. Like, look nobody, back at.
No, you got to look back at it always.
Okay. Question number two.
What you got? What you got?
Question number two. So you're from Texas, right?
I am from Texas.
Do you come from a big booty family or a big titty family? Like, if I go to Thanksgiving dinner or a home or a family reunion,
is if you're coming home with me, you're definitely it's. My parents are from New York, but I was raised in Texas. I'm a military brat, so I definitely.
But physique wise.
But that's what I'm saying. So the background, like, you know, it's not as home fed as you would want. People probably think my parents were like pitchfork wearing overall things. It's not at all what the
situation. Mama still got ass though.
She does not. I got it from my dad. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm Puerto Rican, German, Norwegian. So I do get my booty from my father.
That's a J-Lo.
Yes. So, you know, that Boricua on me definitely got that booty. Blonde hair, blue eyes from my mom. And
oh, you're just a little mix. That's why it came out so special.
Yes. I feel like it's the best kind. You got a little sprinkle of it all. It makes magical happen.
So on your daddy's side, a whole bunch of ass over there. You got
yes, my mom has no ass. New York at all. My Latina mom has cousin. Big natural tits. She's a natural double D, I think. I don't really remember. I don't remember. It's been a while.
So you could have been Alexis Bronx.
No, it doesn't work and sound as good as you know Alexis Texas. But
yeah. I see the J Lo in you. Okay, I get it now. I get it.
Yes, Texas learned from the block.
Very educational moment.
Yeah, see, you learned something. That's what we like to do at Private Talk. You know, we've been friends for a while. I'm glad that you came out to, you know, come to the podcast and grace us with your presence and get to know more about me because we don't get to talk to, you know, a lot. We have, in intimate settings, it's more like a loud, crazy environment. So I'm glad that you got to ask me some questions. Is there anything else that you want to know? I'll give you another bonus one.
Another bonus one.
Bonus Private Talk.
Where are we going after this?
Where are we going after this? I like that one.
Let's go.
You know, if I wasn't working, then I would then I'd probably go somewhere.
I came here tonight in my Lexus.
Oh, did you? You're trying to take Miss Texas?
I'm trying to tell you. Hey, Pete, it's been 10 fucking years, boy. I got her now. I'm just joking.
Ah, that's hilarious. You know, who knows? He probably does watch the podcast.
I still see Pete from time to time.
I unfortunately do too. I just saw him, you know, in Avian in Vegas. But, you know, exes are meant to be exes for a reason. But yes, happily divorced and single. Yes, Private Talk. That's right. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I love enjoying doing them, and that didn't make any sense at all. I enjoy doing the podcast every time. Each week is a different guest, and you guys bring something different to the table every single time. So thank you for coming out. I appreciate you. And yeah, I mean, you need to like and subscribe to my channel too.
Cause I'm definitely gonna subscribe to the channel.
Yes,
you'll see me add them.
You heard him, Private Talk. Mm-hmm. You better make sure you do that too.
Dreams come true.
All right, Private Talk. Till next time.